We are at the site of a huge fire that hit Red Fire Farm in Granby, and we're with the two farm owners, Sarah and Ryan Voiland. This is an iconic landmark if you have come by this area in Granby at all before, and we are looking at the destruction and the aftermath of this fire of just a couple weeks ago. When was the fire?
It was February 17th.
Tell us what caused the fire.
We don't really know what happened with the fire. We just know that somewhere up in the loft of the barn it started, and our best guess is something electrical, but it burned down so fast in about an hour of time.
Oh, wow.
Pretty much all the way down to the ground, so the fire inspector decided that it wasn't really worth looking further into it, and that they're just calling it, you know, unknown cause.
And basically what we're seeing right here is the large wooden beams charred and burned and toppled over, the remnant of a brick foundation, and the skeleton of a greenhouse. Tell us what was actually lost in this fire from mid-February. Sarah Voiland from Red Fire Farm.
We had our winter farm store active in there with full of produce and other farms' local goods like maple syrup and honey and all of that, and all of our equipment for running the store, from coolers, freezers, scales, you know, little iPads that take payments and all that. So our whole functioning farm store is gone right now. The greenhouse is a pretty big loss, too. That's where we were able to protect our plants in the spring to, you know, have the tomatoes that are tender out there early for everyone to come and get. And then, I mean, it wasn't only our farm store barn. It was, you know, where we host our CSA pickups in the back and storage for so many different things, tractors and various growing supplies, irrigation equipment, all that kind of stuff. So we lost a lot of little things in the fire, as well as like the beautiful historical barn that is no longer here.
How long was that barn here?
The barn was almost exactly 100 years old. The barn was built originally in 1923. The barn was an amazing structure. It was built out of chestnut beams. It was one of the last barns that was, or, you know, structures that were built out of chestnut, because it was built at the end of the chestnut era. Shortly after that, all the chestnut trees died from the chestnut blight. So you don't see things built out of chestnut that are any newer than around that era. And not only that, there were like these unique wooden pegs that were holding together all the beams. It was before nails were readily available, so they had this unique way of holding all the joists together with wooden pegs. So it was a really unique structure to start with. You know, I bought it in 2001, so I'd owned it for about a little over 20 years. And during that time, especially my father, helped a lot. We did a whole bunch of different renovations to turn it from the nice barn that it was into a structure that was suitable for using as a store for produce sales. So we had built this whole like addition on the front, that had the red roof, if you see pictures. We had installed this walk-in cooler with all the nice display cases. So many things over the years. I mean, I remember early on when I first owned it, the first winter or two, the whole side became the store, and half of it became the back room area where we handled produce. Originally, when I first had the barn, that area was still cow stanchions, old cow stanchions from when it was used as a dairy barn. And underneath in the basement was all full of manure when I first bought it, left over from 20 years before. It just sort of been sitting there. So I remember those first few winters literally shoveling the old manure out, and we pulled all those cow stanchions out and rebuilt the entire floor on that side. So many hours of like sweat equity and work went into making the barn what it was. It's heartbreaking, not only from the financial loss, but just from the love that we put into it over the years. It's very sad.
We're speaking with Ryan and Sarah Voiland from Red Fire Farm, who suffered a catastrophic loss of this barn and their greenhouse, their farm store here in Granby. Where does insurance play into this? Is this something that insurance will cover and that you'll be able to recoup in any major way?
Well, we had insurance on the building, but in retrospect, not enough. Nothing is settled completely yet with the insurance company, but they have declared the building a total loss. Thank goodness, you know, if they thought otherwise.
What? I'm just imagining the audacity of coming out here, seeing this, and just the foundation, because that's all that's left, and going, huh, I think maybe you could work with this. I'm not sure if this is a total loss.
Yeah. Well, you know, they declared a total loss, so that's agreed upon. But the, you know, it looks, that means we're going to get the maximum amount that we had for insurance coverage on this building, which is only around $300,000. And then we had all the stuff that was in the building, both the product that was lost, that was actively for sale at the time that the fire happened. And then we had a lot of supplies, you know, pallets of peach boxes and berry flats and packaging, produce packaging materials. And then like all the tools, like there were freezers and coolers and all these things. So those things in all of our hand tools, like our shovels and our hose and our rakes that we use to do work in the greenhouses and around the fields, those were all stored in a section of this barn. So they're all gone. All of our signage that we made over the years to put by the, except for the few that were hanging up at the time of the fire, all the rest of the set for crops that were out of season, which is most everything in the winter, those were all stored in the barn. Our roadside signs, our signs that show in the pick your own fields where to pick, those were all stored in the barn. So, you know, those are things that we made over 30 years, this collection of signs.
And painted, woodworked, all that kind of stuff, like beautiful things.
Pretty special, yeah. So the contents is about worth $200,000, not counting the building itself.
And that doesn't get covered in the insurance?
Not really. It sounds like we might get about $30,000 for contents, whereas we had a loss of $200,000 worth of things. So it's going to be really hard. And to rebuild, which is what we plan to do, and they're going to try to figure out a way to do it, to build a replacement structure, but building something this size and for the purposes that we were doing in this building these days is going to cost a heck of a lot more than the $300,000+ that the insurance is going to pay.
Probably more like $1 million
at least,
expected.
Yeah.
So how does this affect where you are in the current year of planting and like in the farming process?
Yeah, well, so what are we going to do now? You know, the one good thing is that although this building represented like all of our retail efforts and also had some of our important production supplies, the majority of our ability to farm and to grow things wasn't really based on this building. We have another barn at our Montague Farm location where we wash and pack all of our produce.
Where, full disclosure, my son worked for 2 summers.
Yes. So that's still fine. And, you know, our fields even here, you know, weren't impacted. Our greenhouses, the firefighters managed to save during the fire. We were very worried that a spark could easily start. The fire was massive, you know. The house, fortunately, the wind was blowing away from the house, so the house didn't go down where some of our staff live. So we can continue growing things. An immediate concern is where and how are we going to sell things here in Granby, because this represented a large portion of our sales between the roadside customers and the CSA members who pick up their shares here in Granby. So we are trying to make a temporary plan to put up like a temporary store arrangement. We've got some sheds that have been offered for donation, and also a nice little stand, my original stand from when I was a teenager, that used to be in my parents' front yard. That building is just barely small enough to put it on a trailer and move it here, so we have plans to do that. We are also looking into the possibility of using the corner, the solar shed building, which is another building on the property, which has been under renovations anyway. We were in the process of making that structure into our new Granby loading dock and packing, and there's a new building that was just built with behind that, which is we're going to wash produce and store produce in that building in the long run. So we're going to delay those plans of using that for the originally intended purposes as much, and hopefully we're going to use a corner of that building to have a little bit of retail. So there's a ton of work to get from here to there in a very short amount of time, but our intention is to be able to be open and selling our goods again by, we're hoping, for mid-April.
The second cooler here. The first one was definitely affected by the fire.
Yeah, it's like a melted metal cooler.
The second one looks intact. Is it still working?
Well, the mechanicals, the compressors burned up on that too. So we're trying to evaluate it. It certainly needs repairs. We might be able to. We're hoping we can get it going again. But of course, the entire electrical system that fed it is completely burned up. So we have to feed new electricity to it somehow, which is what we're thinking about.
Next, we'll discover some of the ways the community and that the state itself can help Red Fire Farm rebuild after the devastating blaze.
And later, a preview of next weekend's Back Porch Festival taking over downtown Northampton.
You're listening to The Fabulous 413 on 88.5 NEPM.
We're in Granby with Sarah and Ryan Boyland of Red Fire Farm, who had a major, major fire here in the middle of February. Last year, for many farmers in Massachusetts and Western Mass, was a disastrous growing season because of the floods, because of the heavy rain, because of a frost that happened at the poor timing early in the season. And the state government, with a public-private partnership, came together to create a fund that was there to help support farmers. Then there's been some state legislation that's been introduced to try to have emergency funds available for farmers. Does something like a fire like this fall into any of those categories? Has the state been able to be helpful in any way for helping to recoup the million-plus dollars worth of damage that you've suffered in this fire?
We have had really great outreach so far from our local legislators and the Massachusetts Department of Agriculture. We're still trying to figure out if there's any options there with the resiliency funds. I'm not sure that there are any funds currently available. I know that the need from last year was so big that I think they used it all up and still didn't fill the need from the farmers. So we are definitely, overall for agriculture in Massachusetts, heading into uncharted territory of risk with climate change. Last year was a really big example of that. Extreme weather events keep happening. We don't know what's going to happen in any given year. And I think it's an important time for all of us to consider how we can continue growing food here and how to support the farms that need to, you know, face that risk.
One positive thing that I guess has come out of this is how the community has rallied around you. You are a big, small farm. I think you're maybe one of the biggest in Western Mass.
I was mentioning at Monsoon earlier today when I picked up coffee that I was headed here, and everyone was like, oh, how are they doing?
Yeah. So a lot of people have access to your food and purchased your food, know of your farm, and have those people have come together in a GoFundMe to try to help support the farm. Tell us about what you're asking for in that GoFundMe and where it's at right now.
We are so grateful for everyone who's already reached out to help in many ways, from just saying, can I bring my giant digger to help clean up the fire mess, or like, I'll come and do whatever you guys want whenever you need a hand. To making donations on the GoFundMe, we have a goal on there of 200,000, and we've made it over 100,000 from more than 1,400 people. That's a huge deal for us really right now, because the insurance money didn't come through with very much towards what we really need to build. And what we're looking at is there's these grants available for building things through the state, and we can take the money that we're getting from donations right now and put it in as a match. So anything that people donate right now can double when we put it towards the funds with the state. Having that base to enter into the grants will make a huge difference for us now.
Because we have to apply for these grants, the timeline for when we'll be able to permanently start rebuilding is unknown right now, because it depends on when and if we receive these awards from the grants. But it's clear that we need that match in order to make this into a viable project that we can move forward on. And, you know, our farm we're certainly not in the position where we can borrow more money. We were already borrowed out to the max. We just can't afford to repay any more money even before the fire happens. So it's not just like an option for us to go out and finance reconstruction. So we are really going to be dependent on figuring out how we can do this with the help of state or federal grants, or some combination of those grants, plus the donations that the community is able to help us out with, and a little bit of insurance money that we expect to receive.
Are you continuing your CSA program this year? And if so, does it help when people sign up for it at this point in time?
Very much so. We totally intend to grow the full gamut and the full acreage of crops that we've been growing. Immediate term, we're going to build this temporary store arrangement. We'll be able to run our pick your own out of that and have the produce for sale. And the CSA distribution will be part of that whole setup as well.
You know, we have plenty of other spots that we have our farm shares for pickup that are not at all affected by the fire. We go to the Amherst Farmers Market, the Springfield Farmers Market, Northampton Tuesday Market, and we head out to Worcester, Somerville, Cambridge, Jamaica Plain, Newton, all kinds of spots that people can get their shares. And it really is a very big help right now to sign up for a share, as that gives us funds at this time to help cover the costs that are bigger than ever at the moment.
Did the fire affect the amount of crops that you have for going to winter markets?
Not really. Fortunately, when the fire happened, these coolers, which we did sometimes use for storing produce, winter storage produce, but we'd already consolidated everything out of those coolers and had them in our various storages in Montague. So they were empty at the time of the fire and turned off and empty at the time of the fire. It's a terrible situation, but we didn't really lose a tremendous amount of our overall product. I mean, there was a lot of product in there. Like, there was a whole shelf full of maple syrup and a whole shelf full of honey and milk and eggs and everything that was for sale at the time.
Just, I have a feeling it looks a lot like this melted pieces of metal that I'm looking at.
It's hard to even find some of the, like, I was poking around to see if I could find any of those, like, the glass jars and stuff, and it's pretty hard.
What are all these metal things right here?
Those are the roof.
The
metal shingles that were on the entire roof of the building.
Wow, and they're all over the place. They got these like Y shapes on them.
Thank goodness they're just tin metal shingles and not asbestos treated shingles.
Oh yeah.
Some of the materials in the building having burned, like, do they affect the land? Do you have to like treat this land before you rebuild on it?
We still are going to have to get a sign off that there wasn't toxic building materials as part of this building, but I'm fairly confident, you know, and there's a little tiny corner of the building left, so they can test it if, you know, the various authorities, if they need to verify that essentially this building that was made out of wood and there were metal things in it, and the metal will get separated and recycled, but there was no drywall in here. Sometimes drywall is a problem, but that wasn't part of how this thing was built, and unfortunately the roof was made out of just metal as opposed to asbestos shingles or something like that. And basically, they started using those more toxic things a little bit later than when this was originally built. So
sometimes it's good to have real old things.
Yes. You have smut on your soot on your face now.
Oh, from touching that?
Yeah.
I do. I don't think we'd ever want, you know, I don't know. I'd be nervous about, not necessarily so much from the fire, but, you know, with all the debris and everything here, like, I don't think we can turn this spot into, like, somewhere where we would grow food.
Yeah. No, definitely not.
So in the long run, we're probably going to rebuild something here.
We'll have links to Red Fire Farm's page, which has a whole list of the ways that you can help, in today's show notes, or you can just head over to redfirefarm.org.
And if you need a little music to help you deal with all the feels we just gave you, you're in luck. We get to chat with Jim Olson of Signature Sounds about the upcoming Back Porch Festival next.
You're listening to The Fabulous 413 on 88.5 NEPM.